Hi, I am Umberto, founder and CEO of Follow the Camino. And in our series of Camino Talks, I have the great pleasure of welcoming John Bradley, famous for writing guidebooks about the Camino de Santiago. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
John, just to introduce yourself, so you are the author of a series of guidebook. Can you just tell us a bit more about that briefly?
Yes, I mean, I walked the Camino 25 years ago, and during that time, during my first Camino, I got a very strong hit to write a series of guidebooks, and I started off with the Camino Frances, which of course is the most popular one. And then I added to that the Finisterre route, then the Portuguese routes, the coastal and the central routes. And then I went on to add on the Inglés. And now this year we'll be coming out the Camino in Bieno and the route through Orense, the Camino Sanabrés. So it's it seems to have a format that people like. It seems to be popular, and people seem to like to carry it with them, and so long as they do, I will continue to write.
That's great. Thanks for that. So, John, I've asked you a few days ago to talk to us about the topic of today, which is can the Camino help us through the COVID-19 pandemic? I don't know how weird or not the question is, but I'm sure you've got some insights on that. And I wanted to first touch base on the coronavirus situation in general, and firstly to see how it has been for you personally. Have you been affected personally, or do you know people who have been affected by it?
Well, yes. I mean, the Camino, the virus is affecting us all in some way. I mean, from my point of view, I go out usually at this time of the year to walk the routes to update them, because I have to update them every year. So this year I can't, certainly this time I'm not out on the route. It's usually around about April that I head out. So that has been postponed. But equally, I've got these two new guidebooks coming out later this year, so I'm quite busy finishing up the finishing touches to those. So my rhythm is that in the winter, and I'm sort of coming out of the winter into the spring now, I'm here in the office which you see me in, and this is where I write up the Camino guidebooks and update them. So nothing very much has changed for me personally. I don't see my family, but it's a very peaceful time. And I really do see, I feel this, the information that's put out there by the authorities that this is, we're going to tackle this enemy and defeat it and come together. I find this sort of adversarial language not necessarily all that helpful, because I do really believe that the coronavirus is sending us an incredibly powerful message and a very powerful opportunity to change the way we understand the world, the way we see ourselves, and the way we can maybe come out of this lockdown and out of this pandemic, and maybe change the way that we do things. Because quite clearly, from the perspective of the planet itself, this idea of the planet as a, which is gaining a lot of traction now, not only among the sort of, popular press, but in amongst the scientific community too, the planet as a living organism in its own right, and all the new initiatives to give the planet legal rights in its own right, and is giving this name Gaia as a sort of the living planet. And we have not been good to that planet over many, many decades. And we literally cannot, it's not a question of, shall we or shan't we cannot go on with the sort of exponential growth that we've got used to over the years, and hope to survive in a reasonably pleasant environment. I mean, life systems and support systems and ecosystems are beginning to break down. So we really do have to do something really the ecological and environmental and climate change is far, far, far more impactful than this coronavirus. The coronavirus, to me, is an early wake-up call. We've had lots of wake-up calls, but here's another one. You know, when are we actually going to come together? And unfortunately, you know, the early signs are that, you know, national governments, you know, America's blaming China, China's blaming somebody. You know, we're into the blame game now. We're trying to find, you know, people to, you know, the scapegoats. That is not a way we're going to either defeat this particular pandemic, which is temporary in its own nature, although it might reemerge in some other form at some other time. But we are not going to meet all the challenges, the big challenges we have are now global. And that's, you know, another incredibly powerful metaphor of the Camino, because the Camino is one of those very, very rare entities, which is in its very makeup is global. So the Camino has a part to play in a positive outcome. You know, the way we meet and talk to each other all around the globe. So it's a very powerful forum to dialogue, like we're doing now this afternoon, to come up with ideas. Doesn't mean to say that we, you know, that I have the right idea or that you do, but I listen to you, you listen to me, you're the people who are listening to this program, and hopefully some of the things that we say and discuss here this afternoon will trigger some responses from the listeners. We're all in this together, and the only way through it is to come together to find, if you like, a common solution, a global, but a global solution. There's no good in the UK deciding one thing and Ireland deciding another and America. Another. This is where we have to come together and have a global solution to the problems that we face.
So tell me something. So is that, if I understand you, the COVID-19 is not simply another crisis that happens every now and again. There's this message, which I think is linked to all of this pursuit for exponential growth, as you said. So that's something we need to listen to. Tell me a bit more about how do you see us globally? I mean, maybe let's start with the governments and people in power first, and then ourselves, individuals, responding to this situation, this awkward situation that none of us could have imagined, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you know, when you talk about governance, I mean, you know, a reality is a lot of people, for instance, from this side of the water, would, for instance, blame, you know, Trump. Look at Trump, he's, you know, withdrawing funding for the WHO. You know, now, actually, Trump is there because the American people put him there. And to a large extent, they like his message. They like his confrontational message, you know, put America first and so forth. The same applies to this country, to other. So we have to, part of the problem that we face as humanity is that we have this tendency to look out and blame somebody else. But actually, we have to start bringing some of this responsibility home to ourselves. I can't rely on you to do the right thing. I can't rely on Boris Johnson to do the right thing, but I can rely on myself. I can take responsibility for myself and my actions. That's the only thing I absolutely have responsibility for. And so I like the idea of, I talk a lot about bringing the Camino home. And that means bringing it, you know, not home just back from the walk in Spain or France or wherever we are, Portugal, but not only bringing it back to my home here, but bringing it back to myself. To I can respond. When I go out here from my front door, my one daily run or walk that I'm allowed, how I greet people, you know, whether I wear a mask if I'm running so that people don't feel, you know, that I'm sweating, and, you know, so they feel that I'm, you know, whether it helps or not, it shows respect for other people that I'm passing. You know, I can respond to this particular, I can respond to every crisis, and not only crisis, I respond all the time to everybody I meet, and I either respond out of fear, oh, this person's going to cheat me out of the price they're giving me for this, or I can respond with loving kindness and a smile. In each and every moment of my life, I have an absolute ability to respond in the way that I want to, and I'm not dependent on anybody advising me how to do that. I will listen and listen to my elders and peers. Unfortunately, there aren't many elders in the world today, certainly not in the political field. You know, we used to have elders, the native traditions always have elders, but, you know, now we have, you know, we seem to have lost the art of eldership, but where are the elders? I think of back to that wonderful young teenager that we have, Greta Thunberg.
Okay.
You know, and her plea to the UN, where are the elders? In fact, she doesn't say elders, she says, where are the adults? She hasn't even gone as far as elders. You know, our response to a lot of what's happening at the moment is actually quite juvenile. It's even infantile. You know, we've really got to inform ourselves better. And now we have the medium to inform ourselves better. But it's not just a question of scrolling down Google or whatever, or listening to these podcasts. We have to develop that ability to look at the information, take the information in, and discard that which doesn't resonate with us. I love this word, resonation. You know, if something resonates with whoever's going to listen to this interview, well, then let it speak to you. If it doesn't resonate, either throw it out or come back with something that does and say, well, this doesn't make sense to me. Can you explain it further or whatever or whatnot? But let's dialogue. Because it's in dialogue and in coming to informing ourselves better that we'll have a better way of proceeding.
Tell me something. You're mentioning that bringing the Camino home is important to you. And after that, you were mentioning that it means that you greet people, you greet everybody. So it seems to me that you're making a connection between the Camino and how you behave, or we should behave as people in general. Is that what you mean?
Well, I mean it on every level. I mean it on that level, certainly. But bringing the Camino home, essentially to me, what really makes the Camino special, or would I say, let's put it the word, the Camino as a pilgrimage, as opposed to the Camino as a hiking route. The Camino as a pilgrimage means that part of the definition of that is that it is an inner journey. And that's what's interesting also about the coronavirus at the moment. It's forcing us inside, inwards. We can't go out. We're in, we're locked in, we're in a lockdown. And that gives us, it's a wonderful metaphor. It gives us an opportunity to look in. And it's that inner journeying back to our mind, back to how we look at in the world, our value system. This is inward looking, and that is pilgrimage. So bringing the Camino home is bringing it back, and it's the inner Camino. That's the when we walk the Camino, we're walking a physical path along with, and at the same time as we're walking an inner path of soul. Call it what you want, but it's an inner path. And we're all familiar with the outer weather. It could be raining or it could be sunny today. I look out, it's a lovely blue sky. A bit unusual, but we're getting a bit more of it these days. That's lovely. But there's also my inner weather. And the inner weather is often more real. The last few days, I've gone through an absolute storm because I've been migrating from one operating system to another and going into a whole new program. For the way I do the books in Adobe, and I'm 72, and technology is I didn't grow up with this technology, so I struggle with it, and I have not been in a good place, My wife, if she was here, would probably say, my heavens, he was in a really dark place. My weather, it was blue sky outside, and I was in a really, my weather, inner weather was really, really dark. I thought I'd lost 15 years' work. I thought I'd lost my, it just had disappeared in cloud. Yeah. I was able to retrieve it. So we're all familiar with this. So this idea, somebody's earlier you talk about the inner, you know, the spiritual, the inner guidance, you know, that's all nonsense. No, we're all familiar. We know we have an inner life, just as we have an outer life, and each influences one and the other. But bringing the Camino home is also going on that inner journey. And this is a of, if you like, self-discovery. Because we're familiar with the, most people are familiar with the self. I'm out there. A lot of people know me or recognize me from the books or whatever, or these talks or these interviews. And they see me as, you know, an elderly gentleman. Well, hopefully some people probably won't see me as an elderly gentleman. That's my own description, but the people will have their description of who I am and what I am. And that's what I present. That's my persona. That's out there. But I also have, there's another part of me, another self that I've been discovering over all these years that is very different from what I present, my persona. And that's, if you like, a higher self. Call it, you know, people have different names for these things, but I have a spiritual identity too that's as real and becoming ever more real to me, more real day by day than my physical appearance. I have a body, yes, and that's what we're looking on the screen here, but I have another body too, and that's a spiritual body. So we have, now whether anybody agrees with that or not, this time, this downtime, gives us an opportunity to reflect on these things, to reflect on the big existential questions that have fascinated humankind since the dawn of consciousness. And these are the real questions, in my view.
Thanks for that. I suppose what I hear when you read the Camino and the self-discovery, the inner journey, and so on, is also the fact that as the Camino pilgrimage brings you through unknown places, an adventure in a way, you discover self-resilience and the fact that you can cope with whatever is ahead, whether it's the weather, internal or external, or whether it's the accommodation you thought would be there is closed for this week or is closed this year for whatever reason. And so we managed to do that. And for you, for example, last week, the self-resilience was on the technological journey, for example, where we've all been there when you have the computer that doesn't want you what you want. Like, this is super frustrating. But what I hear from you is that at the end of the journey, there is an answer and there is a way out of it, I suppose.
Yes, and I think, and also on one level, on this journey of discovery, whether it's discovery of a landscape or a new self or an inner self, it's sort of a never-ending journey, because I've heard it described as like peeling the layers of an onion. Once you've peeled off one layer, there's always another layer underneath, and you peel that off and there's another layer. So we're talking, and what often, where we often get into a tangle is that we speak to each other at different levels, without working out which level we're on. For instance, you mentioned there, a very early lesson on, is this sense of resilience that we find, or sometimes we don't. I've had people writing to me after day four saying, I couldn't go on, I went home. I didn't find the outer resilience or the inner resilience. So it is different for different people. But that resilience is usually a common and early lesson on walking the Camino. You know, the physical things, you know, stage one level, a very basic physical level, is, you know, my backpack's too heavy. I'm traveling with 15 kilograms and it's doing my knees in, and I actually can't go on like this, because if I do, I won't make the end. So, you know, what can I leave behind? How can I do this? So, you know, that's, if you like, that's a fairly basic level. And then do I have the resilience? The weather's now going bad. There's a week's bad weather. Do I just simply take a bus home now and not go through this? You know, so these are all important lessons, and each one builds on another. And they're all connected, because that sense of resilience is not just a question of, can my knees get up and over the hill? But, you know, do I have a poncho to help me through the, you know, do I need to buy one? Yeah. Or do I need to take some time out to rest my knees now, because I've got stress in my ankles, I'm going to get a shin splint. So these are ongoing lessons. There's no, and that's one of the great things about walking the Camino, as opposed to about the inner walk that we're, it's the only way we can do back at home now, and yeah, to have an inner Camino. But when we're actually walking the physical Camino, we're faced with we don't know. The Camino is all about trusting. You know, we don't know, we've never been to this. You know, we've got a planned route maybe at the end of the day or somewhere where we want to stop, but, you know, will the accommodation be there? Maybe it's booked out or not. You know, these questions, there's no certainty on the Camino, or very little certainty. And that's another very powerful lesson. Can we trust? Can we trust that the system is there? Can we trust life? Can we trust that we'll be a bed at the end of the day? Can we trust our body to get there? Can we trust that our blisters will heal?
And do you think it's more of a question, can we trust? Or it is just, we must, and it's just a given, in the sense that we have to accept our own fate in a way whereby I might have wanted to stop at this spot on the Camino, or we are so used to going shopping and so on. And I think that we're all doing quite all right staying home, and we are little by little finding new, not habits, but I myself, when I go on my 1 hour walk around the house or whatever, I've never seen so many families cycling with their children, for example. So, and this is where I think, I hope we have the same view on things that we have, usually whatever they have, do suffice, and it's okay, whatever that is. And here we're locked down for 4 weeks or whatever, and we'll be fine, we'll be grand.
Well, to me, Avad, and I think it's a really important, to me, what completely changed my life, I would say that now, was, you know, I've been on this sort of, you know, journey, if you like, journey of self-discovery or a spiritual journey, since I had my classic sort of midlife crisis back when I was 39 years old. That's, you know, a long time ago now. And what began to make sense for me, where I began to ease myself in and trust the process of my life and where it was bringing me the lessons that were coming up to me, was recognizing absolutely and completely that my life is a journey. Now, I don't mean that just in a sort of a flippant way. I really mean, you know, and we've spoken of this before, I'm on a journey right now. I'm on a Camino right now. I can never not, if when that understanding hits me, I can never not be on the Camino. When I receive the Camino as a pilgrim, as a way of life, as a walk through life, with a higher purpose, with a function, with a meaning to it. So with that comes for me a great degree of flexibility, because there are some times when you know I'm confronted by a lesson that I don't really understand, but I'm much more trusting of saying, well, I'm going to hang in, and I've also got increasingly good at asking for help. Now, I don't mean, I mean, not only outside help, you know, I meet someone on the way and I talk to them, well, you know, well, what, you know, what is this GPS system you have? I wonder, would it help me in my making my maps better or not or whatever. But also, I increasingly am in touch with, if you like, an inner guidance. Now, I don't want to get, you know, we all have an intuitive sense of knowing, that resonance. You know, where does that come from? You know, some people call it the wise self. You know, I have a very stupid, ignorant self that sometimes does really stupid, ridiculous things. But I also have, as part of my makeup, a wise being. The trouble is, I more often listen to the idiot than I do calming myself and taking time to really silence that egoic voice that shouts and screams and jumps and around the place, and fall into the silence and the quiet, because that's often where that if you like, that inner voice or that higher wisdom seems to come from. It doesn't seem to come easily when I'm fighting my computer and shouting and screaming and ranting at everybody, and including the technicians who are trying to help me and they're not helping me. I often lose touch. And then I take a moment and I go and I take even as simple as 3 deep breaths, and I calm myself and come back to myself. And from that place, ask for a bit of help from that wise being. And often I get these incredible insights that just, you know, whatever. It might even be to say, well, look, right now I'm not going to walk on another day. I'm going to take this day off. You go on the Camino. I'll stay here for the next day, or whatever it is. Or no, I'm not going to try and swap my computer out today. I'm too fraught, or it's not the right moment. But I'll try again tomorrow. So I think this degree of flexibility, seeing that life itself is a journey, it's a pilgrimage, it's a Camino, and being prepared to be flexible. I had a wonderful lesson. Somebody just made me think of it. Somebody wrote to me yesterday, when he replied to them this morning, about a bus schedule that's in the Camino that seems to be wrong, from taking a bus from Mansilla into León, where I have a piece in there which upsets some and delights others. You can't delight everybody all the time. It's not meant to. I quite like throwing out the odd challenge to us. And there I say, well, you know, some people take the bus. And you can see people, which I did on my first Camino, what are these people? Do you think they're on a pilgrimage taking a bus? And the following year, or some years later, I said, well, I need to understand this bus. So I took the bus into León, and on the bus, or at the bus stop, I was felt a little bit about it. I said, I wonder when anybody sees me now taking the bus, are they going to judge me? This great author, all he does is sit on buses and travel around the place. And anyway, I got myself talking to this lovely other pilgrim fellow. I think he was from Holland. And he said, oh no, he said, this is, come on, this bus is, and I have a great place at the end here. I said, we can have the bus comes in here, there's a lovely little cafe. And he said, what he did would challenge me, because up until that point, I had always, I will never do this, I will never walk, I will, you know, and I was rigid. I had lost the art of being flexible. Mm-hmm. And it's rather like, you know, that part of me, I'm a bit of a chocoholic. If there's chocolate in the house, I have to eat it. But actually, there's something about having the flexibility to be able to say, well, what is this rigid dogma that I must never take a bus? Where does that come from? And does it serve me? If part of the journey is to become free to be who I am, not fearful of being judged by others, well, then actually, I had an incredibly valuable lesson that day, to others to see me, for them to make whatever judgments they wanted. But I, that day, decided I wasn't going to make judgment of anybody else if I saw them at a bus stop. I don't know. Maybe they were trying to meet going home to get an airplane. Maybe they're meeting somebody who was sick and decided to help them. Who knows? Maybe their knees had given in. Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
You know, the notion was ridiculous, but it was very firm in me. And it's firm in a lot of pilgrims I meet around and who write to me, and they say, you know, did you see this? And people were really upset when I put in the, say, well, why, you know, think about taking the bus in. Have you ever, you know, and people are outraged. How can you make that as a suggestion? Well,
maybe they haven't found they haven't listened to their inner wise or wisdom.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. Again, you know, but I think this idea of what I found from that experience was a freedom that I didn't have up till that time. Now I sometimes lose it, and I sometimes, you know, I don't like to be judged as, you know, probably none of us do. So I'm still not free, because I still want people to like what I write and to buy my books and to say that I'm a jolly good fellow. Not everybody does, and I have to get used to the fact that a lot of what I do won't suit everybody. But I think what we can help each other doing on the Camino, and especially in this lockdown time, is allow each other, support each, not only allow, but support each other to find the freedom to be who we truly are, rather than this sort of persona that we present to the world, this sort of, you know, whatever I try and present out there. Who am I with all my warts and all? Let it all out.
Yes.
And let us be free to be our authentic selves. Because I grew up in a sort of a, you know, in a system that, you know, you very conditioned. This is how you present yourself. This is what you must do in order to be liked and lovable. In order to, you, this is the way you need to be. This is the way you need to dress. Good heavens, you know, you need to have, you know, brown shoes with a gray suit and blue tie with a gray, you dress code, how you speak, how you greet people. I mean, we often think we're free, but we're not free. And this lockdown, which is interesting, we're sort of imprisoned in our own houses, forcefully by law at the moment. But actually, in that sense of legal imprisonment, shut down, we can actually use this time to actually break free, because that's ultimately what we need to do. The journey in life, to me, is breaking free from our constraints to find and be our true authentic self. And most of us haven't a clue who that is.
Yeah, it takes some time, and I suppose, as you said, it's never-ending journey, and it takes longer for some than other. John, I just have a. I wanted, before I ask you a couple of questions. I've got two questions from people who asked for these. Since we have made it to Leon in what you are explaining to us, what do you think now that the pandemic is out there and obviously, it has a great impact on us at home, but on the Camino itself, with hospitaleros, accommodations, and other services, and also in general, how the Camino might be tomorrow, with let's say social distancing, for example, or all of these measures we might have to do for months, maybe years, who knows? Do you have any idea of the impact locally and on how the Camino will be impacted in the future?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that we have a lot of people have begun to write into me, seeing could I, you know, start some sort of a funding operation to support albergues and hospitaleros who are struggling right now, who are facing maybe closure if they can't reopen, they've got rents to pay or whatever or whatnot. Now, I've been very clear that, you know, I don't have the time or the inclination to, you know, handle a fund, you know, become a sort of a trustee of that sort of operation. However, I always tithe. I've got a commitment to tithe from the royalties from the guidebooks, and I make this available every year to various things. And I'm encouraging people who are writing and who know particular albergues that are struggling. I say, well, you've got a direct personal relationship there. Go and put it out to your network. Go and see what you can do to support them and what support they would need. So that you administer it, if you like, yourself, be responsible for your own tithing or your own gifting. In one particular case last week, two rather important accommodation places, accommodation in a sort of quite a vital part on the Camino Portugués from Lisbon, has closed permanently. And another albergue there, a wonderful woman who was, writing that she was, wasn't sure how she was going to stay open. It's really important from my perspective that she does. So I encouraged her. I said, look, rather than being worried about how you can keep going till you stay open, I said, from my perspective, it's important that not only you stay open, but that you start planning how to make additional beds available. Because I'm going to need more beds there for the pilgrims. We're going to need more beds for people coming through because now this other accommodation is closed. So yes. I said, out of the tithing, I'll support you for every extra bed that you make available. I will put in a certain, gift towards each bed because, again, taking a positive, a proactive approach has an opportunity for some. As an opportunity when we reopen, because it'll be phased, it might happen immediately, but over the next year or two, this accommodation's closed. Now, you need to actually gear yourself up and have additional accommodation to support the pilgrims coming through. So every crisis brings a sort of risk for some, closure for some, and also opportunities for others. So I think it's a question of we can all do something, sure. And if we know people are particularly struggling, everybody is struggling in this. Camino. I mean, there's hardly any book selling right now, although there were thousands of selling this time last year. So everybody is affected.
Yes.
There is nobody in the world today who won't be affected. And there's a few there who are, as we know, some big financiers. We know that Amazon have got this massive increase. Zoom that we're talking about now, I would imagine, is delighted with this thing. But most people, 90% and more, people are going to really struggle. And this economic outfall from this, never mind the health and social side of it, is going to be absolutely enormous. I don't think any of us have really got a head around it, how deep this economic collapse is going to be and to affect us. But we can all support each other, and no doubt we will all support each other. And my support will be all going to those places where people that I know who have always done a great job and who, really understand what the community was about in terms of, I'm talking now about albergues, and to support them specifically.
And
did that answer the question? I wasn't quite
sure. Yeah, no, that did. I have to say that I have asked my team to check with accommodation what sort of policies or methods are they going to put in place in order to increase their hygiene, I suppose. And
on a practical level, yes, I see.
Because people are afraid, and for me, the Camino is like every social interaction. Yes. You're moving; it's hundreds of people moving to the same place. Moving away from each other, meeting other people, and so on. And for a spread of something, you don't do much better than that, So it's quite good. But the responses we had from any type of accommodation, such as hostels or regular hotels, were quite good. Whereby, there are some the local authorities are also planning ahead and they are giving clear guidelines on what needs to be done. So that's the first thing. And B, some of them are even taking further steps, such as one of the hotels has an ozone cleaner machine that you put in the room for an amount of time, and that kills all germs and bacteria. So, again, I think in their journey, they know that they have to respond to a need or an issue, and they've started to plan on that already. Now, what I hope is that we mitigate that with the concern that you brought us at the very beginning about the environment and climate, whereby I really hope that we don't become one use and throw type of things away, like shampoos and all these things, because I don't think it will last very long if we are switching to something like this. In the short term, it is a solution, but never in the medium to long term. So
yeah, Well, that's a big question, and that'll take some time to answer, because of course everything, of course, we need to stop the throwaway culture and buying things that we don't need. But, you know, I don't know whether you, I've been horrified to learn of the, when we have the collapse of fashion change like Oasis and Warehouse, and the absolutely devastating effect this is happening to the people making these clothes in Bangladesh. They've now lost their job. So, you know, everything we have, everything that we do has an implication. So it's not just enough to say, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to buy any, you know, I won't buy, I'm not going to buy another new backpack. I'll make do with the one I have until it falls apart and I might keep going for 10 years. But that decision not to throw away my backpack and buy a new one has a direct impact for somebody's wages in wherever, often a third world situation. So we have to be mindful also. Now, I don't believe in following the old mantra of commerce, which is that we just got to keep on buying and consuming in order to employ people. So we have to find a new model. But that's this is a big question. And I'm sure that'll maybe wait for another day.
Yeah, sure. That's great. So, John, I just have two questions from people. One is... It is my first Camino. Why should I go on one route instead of the other, for example? Why should I choose the French way or the Portuguese way or whatever route?
Well, I think it's, you know, anybody, and there's lots of information on the web, but for often somebody on their first Camino, they know that, for instance, on the Camino Francés is an incredibly strong infrastructure there for pilgrims, and especially coming out of coronavirus, where the more remote routes, some of these hostels and accommodation and facilities might no longer be there, they might have closed or whatever. So if somebody is starting off and they're not quite sure of the way and they're not so confident about you know, waymarking and finding their way around the place, and they're not that confident then, and they don't know how their bodies will cope with it, then probably something like the Camino Francés, which offers accommodation probably every 5 or 10 kilometers. So, you know, with all the facilities that you need, people who understand strains and sprains, the infrastructure there is so good. So that's often usually a good response that I will give people. But I'll say that because of that, it's much busier. And if you, however, are, you know, happy to find your own way around and you like a more quieter, more reflective place, well then, you know, you might think of the Camino Portuguese, which still has quite a good infrastructure, but is quieter. And then if you want a really remote thing, you maybe go off and look at doing the Via de la Plata, where you might only find meet half a dozen people in a month's walking. But there, you know, the infrastructure is not very sound and you need to be relying on yourself and the, you know, your own abilities. So it's very much a question of assessing up who you are in terms of your physical abilities and your mental abilities and emotional abilities, how strong you are in all these different levels of your being and psyche. And then, you know, doing a little bit of Google search or whatever you do, and making your decision. But they're all very different, but they all follow the same sort of sense of a welcome, of the familiarity of the Yellow Arrow and the support network that's there and the albergues and so on and so forth. So I think the first thing is to find out what are you trying to achieve for yourself, and how confident are you if you get lost to find your way back. And if you're not very confident, then, you know, find one of the routes that is more widely used.
Okay, that's great. And I have the last question from people is somebody asking, do I have to be fit or to prepare if I go on a 2 weeks walk on the French way?
The answer is no. Nearly everybody I know, you know, every guidebook will say, you know, try and prepare yourself before you go. My guidebooks will very, very much say, you know, prepare an inner journey, an inner purpose, you know, what you want answers to. But on the physical front, which that question is coming from, nearly everybody I know, because they're winding down to take extra space out of their lives, they're usually working harder to clear their desks, to take 2 weeks off in this particular case. So they probably are going to do even less exercise before they go in preparation. But the reality is that however we arrive at the start of our Camino, our physical muscles are likely to be pretty unused and pretty weak, and our spiritual muscles likewise, because we've been out there in the world and we haven't been contemplating the bigger existential questions of life. So we arrive on day one pretty knackered, to use a good Irish expression, pretty ill prepared for the outer and the inner journey. That's where 95% of us start our Caminos. But the Camino has a way of, once we take the first step, the second step becomes easier, and on we go. And over the days, but I always say, be very careful that first week. This particular question was about 2 weeks. Be really careful that first week, because you might feel over exuberant. Wow, I suddenly free space. And you suddenly find yourself on day one, instead of limiting yourself to 20K, you've done 30K, and now you've got blisters and you've got problems, and you maybe got your knees are hurting, and you might even have a stress fracture building, in which case your Camino might even end on day one. So really, really, I was to give one piece of advice to anybody starting Camino, is please take that first week sensibly. Do not overdo it. Adapt yourself into the Camino. And once that first week, once the body, I don't know any body that isn't, I have to say, because of responsibility, if you've got any underlying health issues, go and see your doctor. Any underlying health issues, go and see your consultant or psychotherapist or whatever. However, for the vast majority of people, if we've walked the first week sensibly, it is amazing how quickly our body and our mind adapt to the freedom of the road and the way and nature. And usually from week two onwards, we can really be surprised at how our bodies can take a punishing schedule. But don't put that in on week one.
That's great. Thanks very much for your answers. John, that's great. That brings you to the end of our talk. It was an absolute pleasure. It has been very inspiring. I hope that everybody who is listening or viewing this content, this video, will get inspired. Please do not hesitate to ask questions or comment underneath, so that we can continue the conversation. It is very important. And I hope to talk to you again soon, John. Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
And that's all for now. If you like this video, please hit the thumb up. We would also love to hear from you, so leave a comment or question down below. Also, if you would like to get notified about new content and videos, hit the subscribe button. And lastly, you can learn a lot more about the Camino with loads of blog articles, products, tips, and so on, on followthecamino.com. Thank you for watching.